This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you for Wednesday, May 30th, 2012. This is Metaphysical Universe. My name is Doug Kelly, and I'm, of course, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Good evening, everyone.
Yes, good evening to all. Good for those of you who are joining us live, nice to have you. Those who are listening to the archive, good to have you too. Tonight we're going to be talking about nine principles that can really change your whole world and the world. We'll get into that in a moment. Metaphysical Universe is an educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. We explore and empower the human spirit, explore science, spirituality. So we're glad to have you. If you want to make comments, you can in the chat room, of course. If you would like to call in, you can. If you have a comment or something, Dr. John Hightower, of course, screening calls tonight. So tonight we're going to be talking about the nine principles of belief for MCHS Church. And I was thinking about this program last night, and I'm thinking, you know, tonight is where I take, I guess, what is it, let your hair down, that sort of thing. Of course, you know, it's always down. But, you know, I'm gonna get real. I'm going to talk about these principles of belief. You know, it's like it reminded me, you know, nine principles for changing your life, your relationships in the world. And I'm trying to think of a topic, you know, nine principles to change the world, to bring peace to the world, all these, you know, it's a tall order. And it reminded me of these books that you can buy, you know, Three Steps to Being a Zillionaire in 3 Days and, you know, stuff like that, you know, these grandiose titles. And I think, you know, what do I call this to make it not sound like one of those? And I didn't know. So I chose this topic, but it's really true. We're going to talk about these nine principles. Now I've devoted shows to each one in the past. You can listen to those in the archive, but these principles really are something special. They are powerful. They are proven. They are true. And if people would just apply these, if the world would just apply these principles in their daily life, I know we would solve all kinds of problems. I mean, there would be peace. There would be good relationships. There would be fulfillment. There would be meaning. There would be, you know, we'd spend money on education and helping people get, you know, homes and all that sort of thing, and food and not military stuff. We get along. Hey, can't we all just get along? Well, these nine principles are designed to help people increase awareness, enhance their lives, find self-completeness, self-actualization. Can't talk. Which is bad for a radio show, isn't it? So we're going to talk about these tonight, and if you've got comments, we'd love to hear them. And so let's start with principle of belief number one. And just
my
a
favorite.
Quick side my note, favorite. It's like the one that sets the whole thing. Emotion. Just as a quick side note, if you'd like to read these along with us, you can find them at mchschurch.org, mchschurch.org. On the left navigation bar, you will see a link. This is Principles of Belief, mchschurch.org. Click on the left button that says Principles of Belief, then you can follow along. All right, so number one, this is Principle of Belief number one, and I'll just read it verbatim, and we'll talk about it. As sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. You could say that everything that the church is based on really comes down to this one principle, do no harm. But we can't just stop there. You have to also do right. Do no harm is great, and it's something we should always do, but it can also be passive at times. Do no harm, just, you know, don't do anything. Well, there's also more to it, and that's do right. Do the right thing. You see something that needs to be done and it's the right thing to do, then do it. Don't just not do it because, you know, it's not enough. Do no harm is great, but it needs to have the complement of do no right.
Do right. Okay. You know, it's not as easy as people think if they are used to being competitive. I think that's really a key, Doug, because, you know, in society, certainly in Western society, people are encouraged to be competitive. You know, it's that survival of the fittest and that, you know, if you work hard, you will. And very often that, you know, those little adages that people are taught, they don't necessarily encourage to also watch out for who you hurt along the way. So that right. Do right is really critical one.
It is. You know, we can observe things that need to be done. You know, just those two principles, do no harm, do right. Think if the whole world practiced just those two principles. Think of what it would mean to humanity. Think of how it would impact the human condition. Think of the peace that we would have, the lack of wars. And you would think that such a principle, do no harm and do right, would be the mainstay of religions throughout the world. And many of them try to say they have that, but yet, gosh, you look over history, and that's where most of the wars have come from, is religious differences, if not all of them. Usually it's most of them. I mean, I'm sure there's been one or two that has been religiously motivated, but I can't think of them. All right, maybe the Civil War. I don't know. Anyway, the point is that most wars are religiously motivated, and you would think this would be a big part of that whole thing, but it's not. So, in your life, can you practice do no harm? Can you practice do right? Can you look for ways to do right? Can you just step it up a notch? Just have that on your mind as you go about your day. What ways can you do the right thing? They call it random acts of kindness as well. What can you do to make a difference, to lighten the load of somebody that you come across? And we can do it in so many ways. Smiling at somebody is one way, very, very easy to do. There are just so many different experiences or opportunities that we might run across to do right, and of course to do no harm. When it comes to do no harm, don't try to control people. Don't try to give unsolicited advice to other adults. Don't get angry or yell at people. You know, if you're in a relationship, don't yell at them. Don't be moody. Don't pout. You know, all those negative things. Don't be jealous. Do no harm. Do right. You can apply it across the board. Any other comments on that one, Vicki?
No, I think that just about sums it up, Doug. You know, I mean, we can have a lot of examples and in the course of one day. And I think if somebody were to just do a little inventory of how they went through their day, did they give a nasty frown to the cashier? Did they, you know, all these little things that, you know, we have to check in with ourselves. All of us, we have to check in.
Well, there's so many little opportunities, you know, holding the door for somebody. If you go through a toll booth, pay for the car behind you. There's just so many. You know, if you're in traffic and somebody wants to cut in, you know, they're turning into your lane, let them go. Things like that. There's so many little things that we can do. All right, let's go to principle of belief number two then. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. When you look at humanity, one of the things that really sets humanity apart from any other animal or any other creation is the ability to overcome obstacles, regardless of the odds. I mean, that's why we're still here. We can overcome the greatest of odds, the greatest of obstacles. I love that about the human spirit. It doesn't matter what it is. We can triumph in the end, because we are adaptable, we're creative, we're inventive, we can figure it out. And that power, that spirit that we have within us, just that ability, is absolutely amazing. There's nothing that is not achievable for us in time and given our technology and our ability to make things happen. But we can always do it. And so if you feel like you're down and out, you can't ever win, those kinds of things, that's just simply not true. That's a mindset. It's an attitude. But the fact of the matter is that we possess that indomitable power, that incredible power of the human spirit to triumph.
You know, you have it written here in principle number two. If I can just read, you know, a couple of paragraphs down, in keeping with what you just said, Doug. In other words, deep down, we often feel the subtle and intuitive coaxing that shows us the way, or hear that quiet inner voice that gives us the answer, but we often repress or ignore it. It seems that this inner knowing is often just beyond the threshold of our conscious awareness, but it's there nonetheless as an undercurrent amidst our daily mind chatter. You know, that it's there, that something in that consciousness that's there to keep going, and we know what to do.
Yes, and of course with this power that we have within us comes responsibility. And
oh yeah, sure, you had to go and take all the fun out of it.
Yeah. Well, responsibility can be fun.
Yeah, it sure can.
You know, so we have that responsibility to use that power properly. And of course we can also imply that if you use that incredible power that we have, we don't want to use it to do harm. We don't want to use it to control others, to get into all that stuff. We use it benevolently. We use it to help others. We use it to overcome those obstacles. We have a moral compass that is pointed in the right direction, an ethical direction. The other part of that, the answers we seek already exist within us, that is absolutely a truism. You know, we can figure it out. And so if you're at a point in your life where you've got problems, you're faced with troubles, or you need to come up with solutions, they're there. You just got to keep working at it. And that doesn't mean that you can't seek guidance or ask for some help or some ideas or get some brainstorming going on. You can do that. But in the end, you will figure it out. And it sometimes takes, listening to others or talking to somebody or reading something that kind of resonates with you, and one thing leads to another. It's like a mastermind group where you create the synergy and you come up with the solutions and you keep at it. But the answers are within you. You just got to dredge them up. You got to pull them up. It's like a well, you know, a deep well. You bring those answers up, but they're there. And it's interesting because I've known people who have traveled the world, literally, looking for something that they've had within them all along. But sometimes it takes that for them to realize that they had it all along. You have what you need within. You just got to look there. You know, don't discount it. Trust in yourself. Trust in your ability to get it to come through.
Sorry, Doug.
Go ahead.
Don't you think it also has to do with sometimes we have to change our belief system?
Of course.
You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, it means that maybe we have to realize the belief systems that we've had that brought us this far need to change to serve us in the next, you know, phase of life or stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
So beliefs have to change. And that's not always easy for people. Not always easy at all.
It's very hard. But that's, you know, so many people hate change, and that the fact is, and we've all heard it, it's almost cliche, you know, hey, life has changed, it's all about change, and one thing you can count on is that things will change. You know, we might as well embrace it, because it's going to happen. One chapter closes, another one opens, and so when it comes to belief, we better be growing in our beliefs, we better be learning new things, because if you're not, you're staying stuck in the dark ages. And sometimes when you're trying to solve problems, the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. So you have to change your beliefs, grow, expand, evolve, so that you can have access to those solutions. We've talked about this on past shows. sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. Something that you perhaps previously didn't think was an option might be the only option you have to solve a problem. I mean, that happened to me, you know, years ago. And so that's where I learned that lesson and coined that phrase. Sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside your belief system. So you'd better be growing if you want to tap in to that power that you have within you.
And just because things are in front of you and available and everybody else seems to believe in something doesn't make it true.
Yeah, well, a lot of people believe in a lot of things. Billions, you know, at least a billion Christians out there, and I don't even know how many Muslims, you know, big religions, you know, Hinduism, Buddhism, all those. Just because a lot of people believe in something does not make it true, does not make it so. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go along with the crowd, or are you going to be a pioneer and pave your own way, you know, clear your own path, make your own trail? All right, so let's go into principle of belief number 3. And here it is. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. So here's that responsibility. We, as a species, are responsible for solving our own problems. We're creating them. We need to solve them. The implication here is to not look beyond ourselves for those solutions. In other words, we don't rely on some kind of a mythical, supernatural friend in the sky, God, to take care of our problems. And that is the basis of a lot of religious beliefs. God's going to take care of us. You do what he says, you'll get to go to heaven. If you don't do what he says, you go to hell. That's nothing short of terrorism. It's
fear-mongering.
Yeah, it's blackmail. You know, you do it my way or you don't get it. So we are responsible for solving those problems. And we're capable of solving those problems. We just have to continue to evolve and grow as a human race. We need to continue to increase our awareness and understand that they are our problems to solve. And this is as it should be, because if somebody comes along and makes it all better for us, how do we grow? How do we learn those lessons? How do we benefit? You see, those are our lessons to learn, and nobody can or should deprive us of learning those lessons. And you can now bring this into your own life. You have problems, you need to solve them. Don't look towards somebody else to solve your problems. That's codependent anyway. So solve your problems, and you are entitled to that those lessons. Nobody has the right to deprive you of learning the lessons that come along with solving your problems.
I think one of the biggest things that people experience is the persecution if they don't go with the mainstream. And I want to say it takes a humongous amount of courage to stand in your own voice, mm-hmm. to stand in your own critical thinking, in your own deductive reasoning, and to explore life in your own way. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that you can, again, hurt people along the way, because we got do no harm, do right. But if we look at who it is that's doing the persecuting, we only really have to ask one really important question. Do we want to emulate them? And that's I think, that, you know, we can solve our problems. And if we can get a handle, if people can get a handle on that one tiny little bit of critical thinking, they're well on their way to becoming a problem solver. I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm. Good point. You know, you made me think of something. Just the other day, my son was telling me about a conversation his friend had at work. I had rented some storage space for the church just temporarily, and my son's friend works at the storage space, and apparently one of my son's friend's coworkers was talking about the church. Oh, that's just a scam. It's, you know, nothing real. And so they were discussing it, and of course my son's friend was sticking up for it. No, that's not really it at all. I mean, it's a real thing. But it really dawned on me how ignorant so many people are. Yeah, if it's online, yeah, it must be a scam, right? Well, you know what, folks? Welcome to the 21st century. Things are done differently these days. It's not always like it used to be now. Things, we have to grow. We have to evolve. We have to change with the times. And it just struck me how many times people have called me a scam artist, a charlatan, and a few worse things. And you know the beauty of it? I just don't care. I literally do not care. I am far too busy making a positive difference in many people's lives to invest in that kind of BS. And so when you talk about the naysayers or talk about these people, it's like they're shining this big, huge floodlight of ignorance right on them, and they're putting themselves in the spotlight. We don't want to be that way. You know, we don't want to jump to conclusions and thereby do harm with those conclusions. The fact is that the solution to virtually every human problem lies in enhancing the human condition, which includes growing in awareness and enlightenment, not remaining ignorant. Oh, my Lord, you know, it reminds me of the Dark Ages where they were so ignorant, and they were kept ignorant by the religious authorities, and yet they didn't rise. Well, not all of them. There were some that tried to rise out of that, and they did. But if we want to solve human problems, we need to enhance the human condition. We need to understand it. In order to understand it, we need to explore it. And that's where metaphysics comes in, to understand and explore and enhance the human condition. If you enhance people's lives, guess what? They have better lives. Makes sense, doesn't it? It's like 2 + 2 = 4. If you enhance the human condition, people enjoy their life more, and they're more prone to doing good. They have less stress. And the problems just don't come like they once did.
I think one of the biggest problems is gossip. I detest gossip. I can't tell you how much I detest gossip. Because it comes down to a formula of gossipers. And not unlike what this fellow did at this rental place. He speculated. He decided. He judged. And mm-hmm. he condemned.
Mm-hmm.
And he did all of those things based on speculation,
mm-hmm.
deciding, judging, and condemning, with no information except speculating, deciding,
mm-hmm.
judging, and condemning. And this is, it's very, very dangerous. It happens in families. You know, people are bored. They sit around the coffee table, you know, or having supper, and they speculate about people's lives. They
mm-hmm.
speculate. Well, then, if we're speculating, there must be truth to it, so they decide what's true. Well, now they're all going to do something about it, and, well, that's it. They condemn. And it's very, very dangerous. This is not a problem-solving behavior.
Mm-mm.
And I have walked away from an enormity of people in my life because I detest the gossip. It's so dangerous. It's harmful.
Well, they're not part of the solution. They're part of the problems.
Absolutely.
As it were. So, good stuff. Let's go on to principle number 4. We embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are, therefore, equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Now, there's a mouthful there. It's real simple, folks. We all come from the same place. We are all a product of the elements created by supernovas. You know, the suns, they live out their life cycle. They go supernova. They create the heavier elements like iron and carbon and oxygen and all that, and that's what allows us to all live. I mean, it's responsible for everything you see. Gold, you know, silver, all those heavy elements, and they're required for life. And so we all come from star stuff. That's where we came from. These stars created in interstellar nurseries. We're all from that same place. So how is it that we can support, you know, one person being better than another? Or if you're gay, you're not good enough. You should burn in hell. And some of these Christian ministers, these fanatics, these fundamentalists, really go way overboard with that. I mean, if it was 500 years ago, they'd probably be burning them at the stake. Hey, who's getting burned this Saturday night? You know, it's like the only thing. There was no movies then, so let's go to the weekly steak burning. And they would do that stuff. The fact is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're gay. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, you know, heterosexual, bisexual, all of it. It doesn't matter. You know, we're all equal. And so we cannot harbor that, you know, racism or bigotry or bias for these different people. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. We do not have a planet of several races. There are undoubtedly different races in the universe, but on Earth, one race, different heritages. We're all the human race. So we don't want to use that because that race thing, because we're not different races. I'll just get off on my soapbox on this one.
It's such a good one, though, Doug.
It is, you know.
It is a good one.
And I mean, I spent 40 years as a Christian, and I was never a homophobe, but, you know, I knew it was, quote, wrong. You know, God doesn't like that. Well, at this point, I don't really care what God thinks or likes or doesn't like. Of course, I don't believe in him, so that helps a lot. But the fact is that we can't do this bigotry against these different people. It just kills me. I mean, there's so many areas with this. It's like women who are dominated by men in different cultures. There's
Get me started.
I know. I'm just going to touch a little bit lightly on this, okay? You know, where they have to walk behind the man. That, I mean, I must have been female in a previous life because I'm more of a feminist than most women. I don't get that. We're all equal. There is no difference. We can all do we can all do the same thing. So it's really unenlightened to have these different biases against different classes of people. You know, diversity is a beautiful thing. Look at the rainbow. You know, a rainbow is beautiful because all the colors are there. If you take all the colors away but one, it's just not pretty anymore. Oh, it could be cool, but you know, it's not as beautiful. But you put them all together, and wow, that's really beautiful because it's in the diversity. It's where the beauty lies.
You know, Doug, I just encountered someone who dared to say that it was too hard for women to live on their own in the country. Hmm. And I don't know what to say. I've been doing it for so many years, and yet they dare to say this to me. And I said, really? I've heard this before. You know, I mean, it's the people, this is part of, you know, we're not thinking before we speak, and we need to be a little more observant sometimes. But I mean, how do you respond to that? You don't, because it's just, in my view, I'm going to say it straight up, it's too stupid. Mm-hmm. It's too stupid to give it any attention at all to have a conversation. When you look at me and you tell me that I'm not able to do something when I'm doing it, then go away.
Mm-hmm.
I walk away.
Well,
got nothing to say.
And it goes back to what the problem is around the world, lack of awareness. And that's where education comes in. We're going to get to that one here coming up.
Yeah.
Let's go to number five. Principle of belief number five. Rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. And that pretty much says it all. You know, MCHS Church, we do not recognize any kind of a supreme being because we're it. We are God. You know, God is within us. We're all divine, have that divine energy. You know, where did we all come from? Were we created by some alien race, some being? I have no clue. I don't know if we'll ever have a clue. But the fact is that whole God concept is created by Christianity and the various other religions. I'm sorry, don't do it. It doesn't make any sense. I mean,
I have a theory.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a theory that, and I had a little story. I think I'm going to write it one day. God, like, came by and you know, not, he was just like Jean-Luc Picard, you know, it's like he had a mandate. And, you know, coming by this airspace and he needed some repairs and, geez, a bunch of his, you know, people went down and one of the guys said, I'd like to stay. you know. Oh, and then a few years later, Allah's passing by in his spaceship. And, you know, and the same thing happened, except he's really pissed because he really heard that God had been here before. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. But, you know, what is that mandate of non-interference?
The prime
John
directive.
Picard, the prime directive. Mm-hmm. See, I love that. So that's my theory. That's my theory of how these, you know, things can create their own momentum. And it goes back in all kinds of mythologies, too, that, you know, there's the spirit world. And, you know, there's many, many, many worlds. And if we feel separate from it, then we think it is greater than ourselves. And this is just not true, because we're all in the universe, all of the universe, all the same star stuff, therefore all equal. Even those that might, well, and I believe, live in other dimensions, time, space, and otherwise. So there is that divine energy that, you know, connects us all. We're all connected mm-hmm. through that energy that I believe we use that word divine. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's higher, greater, more. It means that it's divine.
Well, if everybody's gone, then we're all equals, right?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, metaphysical humanistic science, we take a meaningful, practical, and rational approach to metaphysics devoid of all the superstitious hoopla and the mythical and the ungrounded beliefs. And, you know, that's the same goes for various religions, which really takes faith, aberrational faith, I might add, to accept. If you look at, for example, the Bible, if God did exist and was a human being, he would be tried for crimes against humanity for all the atrocities committed by him and others in his name. I mean, we could just go on. The whole Bible's filled with it. And that just doesn't make any sense anymore, you know. It came a point where I outgrew that whole thing, outgrew God. And if you happen to be a Christian minister and you want to quote us pagans and, you know, non-Christians on it, be sure to quote my name and mchschurch.org so that those in your congregation who are also outgrowing that faith can at least have an outlet. So, you know, I'm not going to make any bones about my beliefs or lack of belief in those things anymore. You know, I'm not doing any harm here. I'm just trying to wake people up. There are alternatives. And if you take these principles of belief and employ them in your life, if everybody did this, if everybody employed these principles of belief, the world would get along. We would not have any need for wars and militaries. We would get along. There would be none of these hate crimes if people would just apply these things. I don't think the same could be said of other religious belief systems. And yet here it is. It's simple. It's eloquent. It's elegant. It is a beautiful thing. We just need to apply them in our lives.
Which helps us move right into principle number 6.
Oh, I'm not ready for number 6 yet.
All right, go ahead.
If you need something, look to your own higher self. You know, I put a name to it, your soul light, if you want to call it something, higher self. You know, look to that if you need to look to something, but it's still looking back to yourself. So remember that. Now I'm ready for number 6.
Number 6 it is.
Here's number 6. We believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state and plane of existence. Pretty straightforward. Do you believe in life after death? Yep. Now, I'm going to tell you, this principle was a long time in coming for me. It took a lot of research and a lot of thinking and a lot of research, did I mention that, for me to conclude that, yes, it, for all intents and purposes, all the evidence, all the research, yeah, and there has to be something after this. Some of the things that really did it for me, not only near-death experiences, I mean, yes, those are very fascinating, and of course, you know, science will try to explain it as oxygen deprivation to the brain, but the thing that really kicked it over the edge for me was what's called shared death experiences. Dr. Raymond Moody, who wrote the book Life After Life back in mid-70s, and it's still on your bookshelves today. Great book. He also recently, a couple of years ago, wrote the book Glimpses of Eternity, and I would highly recommend that. Read them both. Glimpses of Eternity talks about shared death experiences where the loved ones of the person dying actually experience what some near-death experiences are. They have they see the room change. They participate to some extent in that whole near-death experience thing, that out-of-body experience, and they're fine. They're not sick. They don't have a lack of oxygen to the brain. And there's quite a number of experiences. Quite a lot of doctors and nurses and hospital personnel, medical personnel, have even been part of these types of things unwittingly. So I would highly recommend those. That's what kicked it over the edge for me. So, you know,
I think I've told you this before, Doug, but I had that experience with my late brother after he passed, and it was the most extraordinary moment of my life that I could be with him while his spirit left his body and see it, feel it, experience it. It was transcendental, and I absolutely, in my view, my experience, if I hadn't already been convinced before that, I certainly was in that moment, that we are an energy that exists beyond a physical experience. We are a consciousness. And however we, you know, translate that, however we want to attach a belief system or way of thinking to it, I don't think we can really dispute the fact that we do have a consciousness before we come into this body and when we leave. So that's, you know, how I see it.
Well, yeah, and, you know, now we're getting into the area of reincarnation, which, you know, may or may not be true. In the chat room, there's a question. If there is no reincarnation, then why should consciousness survive the physical death? What does consciousness do after physical death? Nobody knows the answer to that question. And it's, if you've listened to this program for any length of time, it's no secret that I am not 100% on reincarnation. It could be true. It may not be true. I'm open-minded toward it.
I got stories, Doug.
Well,
many lifetimes.
There's
many
a lot of stories. And that's the problem. You know me. You know, that's the whole basis of the church, is on objective, grounded reasoning. And so my approach is, look, I need to be able to logically defend it, and I have some issues with reincarnation as a concept. However, I will tell you that on some level, I suspect it may be true. I'm just looking for something that's going to kick me over the edge. And a lot of people think, well, what about all those little kids who have all those, you know, memories and all that? And I think that, I suspect that reincarnation is going to be one of those things. It's much like psychic gifts. It's, you almost have to experience it to understand it, to believe it. And I've obviously had experiences with that, with psychic stuff, so I know that's true. But I haven't had anything with reincarnation, and I'm not going to get deep into that. It may or may not be true. I just want it to be known. I'm open to it. I'm just still trying to explain it, trying to defend it in my own mind. But the fact is, we must go on. And to answer that question about what do we do after death, I don't know. I have no clue. And I don't know that anybody does for sure. I mean, Vicki, we've talked about, I mean, you have your visitors and spirits. What do they do? And we've asked, what do you do? What do you do every day?
Yeah, I know. You know, I had an experience the other day, actually. I was telling you about it, and I'll tell our listeners. Mind my business around the house, and my alarm clock in my bedroom goes off. Now, it is one of those plug-in alarm clocks, you know, big digital numbers. I don't use it other than to see the time, because I don't require an alarm clock to go off in the morning. But here it is, beep, beep, beep. So I go there, and I'm looking at it, holding this beeping, you know, alarm clock in my hand, and I'm making sure all the buttons are to the off position. I said, come on, guys, do you have to do this? Can't you just, like, you know, like, talk to me? And then suddenly the radio came on in my hand, and I, whoa, come on, this is just not fair. Talk to me, I'm doing my best, I can usually hear you, I can listen, but, like, this is kind of ridiculous. So, I managed to get it to stop, you know, after smacking a few buttons around, but everything is still in the off position. Well, lo and behold, it just happened again 2 days ago. You know, that beeping again at my alarm clock, and I just said, oh, knock it off. And it stopped. And, you know, so there's, you know, people can say, oh, well, that's just nuts, or there's another explanation. You know, that's entirely true. There's lots of explanations, and I like my own. I mean, I've had enough life experience. It's been this way for me since I was born, so it's good. It's a good one for me, and I'm to the point where I don't have to prove it to be true. You would have to prove it to not be true. So it's just whatever we want to view it as. I'm open to other possible explanations, but that's as close as I need to have right now. Spirits are spirits. I've been talking to dead people my whole life, and that's the way I view it, and it's good for me. So that's good.
So what do they do? You know, what do we do after we die? Well, you know, what if we simply go into another similar yet higher world, you know, where perhaps the ability of our minds to create our realities is a little bit more intense, a little stronger. I don't know. You know, it just,
let's do a show on this very topic again. I know we did one not too long ago, but let's do another one in the next few weeks on reincarnation, tell stories, and life after death experiences. It can go on forever. We can talk about this one for a long time, Doug.
Yes, we could. Well, related, there's a comment by David in the chat room. How many religious doctrines, reincarnation, aliens, heaven, hell, etc., are simply an attempt to push non-linear, multidimensional experience into a linear description and understanding? Yeah, you're probably right. You know, that's the thing about metaphysics, about consciousness. I mean, it's like almost like all bets are off. It's like quantum physics. You know, you can't marry quantum physics with general relativity, with the, you know, with the standard model, because they just don't fit. One works for the bigger universe, one works for the smaller universe. And when it comes to consciousness, there's a whole lot more to it than what we can even define. And it might just be, and I hate to accept this, but it might just be that in our present state, there really is no way of truly understanding the depth or the breadth of our consciousness and what it can do. In terms of the next life, there's been speculation that time is not linear there. It just doesn't matter. You can be wherever you want to be at any point in time. So, interesting stuff. Let's go on to number seven. Go ahead.
Which is exactly how we can move into number seven here, Doug, self-completeness. Because no matter what kinds of theories we have, only this moment matters. Yeah. It only matters who we are in this moment, fulfilling ourselves.
Good point. And with that, it's a good lead into principle number seven. We believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these three synergistically create the goal of self-completeness or self-actualization. The entire church, the entire degree program at Metaphysics Institute is all based on the life leadership paragon, which is self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and self-completeness. This is a paragon, simply means a model of excellence. The life leadership paragon is something that I've developed over the last 10 or more years, and it's
which
just,
is brilliant, by the way.
Well, I came up with it, and therein is an example. You know, not boastful, not narcissistic, just. Yes, it is. It's simple. And that's what I wanted. You know me. I'm practical. I want it boiled down into simplicity. I want to know what are the... And that's what I did with this. I kept boiling things down. What is truly essential to life, to a successful life? And I kept boiling them down. And in fact, there was even a time when there was another trait in there, and it just didn't work. And so I finally got this down to self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will. If you practice those three combine to create self-completeness, and that's the goal, self-completeness. You know, you got to accept yourself. We've had shows on this. Are you perfect? Most people say no. The answer is yes, you are. You're perfectly yourself. You know, you're learning lessons. You'll be better tomorrow than you were yesterday. You're perfect work in progress. a whole concept of perfection as we have known it is nothing more than a fantasy. It's a, well, it's an attempt to control and guilt people and shame people into action. The fact is we're already perfect, just like we are. And so
you know,
go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to insert here about the self-actualization. I love that word actual, because that's part of how I boil things down too, Doug, is that, you know, this notion about love is unconditional is at a spiritual level. It's not at a human level. Our spirit is absolutely in love with our potential, because we're supposed to live up to whatever it is we've designed for ourselves, how we're born to be, because we have an enormity of untapped resources in ourselves. But it's what we actualize. And when we accept who we are, and we're responsible for who we are, and we respect free will, our own included, as well as others, then we can actualize. Then we look at who we are actually. How does love behave actually? Not in the potential of it, because all too many times people are in love with the potential of love. And it, to me, that's love is conditional, and it's actual. And when we see it better, now we can get into problem solving, but we're accepting ourselves. We're responsible for our behavior and our thoughts. And we start to let air breathe between us that we can respect each other. But we're individually complete. So that self-actualization is a really critical thing for people to meditate on if they're, you know, they're so inclined to really want to self-explore. What are you actually in this moment? And then look at your potential and then come back to your actual and actualize more.
Excellent. So, excellent point. So with this principle number 7, you accept yourself just as you are in a healthy manner. You know, you accept your perfection. You're not narcissistic, but you accept yourself in a healthy way. You take responsibility for your life. You don't take responsibility for other adults who are not your responsibility, and that leads into respect for free will. You don't try to control people. You don't try to change people. You don't give unsolicited advice. You respect others. And you become complete in yourself, simply meaning that you don't need anything outside of yourself live a happy and productive life. All right, let's move on then to principle number 8. 2 more to go. We believe in the value of practical education, metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. This simply means that education will increase one's awareness. It will change your vibrational frequency, your vibe, your energy signature, as I call it. As you educate yourself, you grow, and you become even healthier. And when you vibrate a certain frequency, you'll attract that frequency. So if you're a healthy person, you're going to attract other healthy people in your life. And those are the ones that you'll make relationships with. Education cannot be undermined, cannot be undersold, cannot be, it can't be talked about enough. It is absolutely essential, and that's why that MCHS Church has the Metaphysics Institute, the degree program, where you can get your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics and specialize in a variety of areas as you desire, because education is part of growing, evolving, learning more about who you are, becoming more aware of not only yourself, but also others around you. And you really get a great lesson in that do no harm and do right as you go through it. Let's see. And one other thing that I'll mention, and then I'll let Vicki say anything she wants to say, is that, well, not anything. Just kidding. It's the life skills aspect of it, and that's another thing that we really hammer on at the Metaphysics Institute is life skills. So many people want to learn all these things, but they don't possess the life skills to have good relationships with other people. They don't possess the wherewithal to be good employees or to be good managers or whatever the case may be. You know, if you want better, if you're a manager and you want better employees, teach them life skills. If you want to be better with relationships. Learn life skills, communication skills, critical thinking skills. Learn how to not control other people, not to try to change them. Learn the meaning of codependence and not do that. Take responsibility for yourself and really no other adult. This is education. This is learning how to live a lot your life. Talk about, you know, the rule book for life or the owner's manual for life. It is not in any other religious book. It's about learning practical life skills. And if you just practice not trying to control other people or change them, oh, wow, that's going to send you light years ahead. And don't give unsolicited advice. All part of the same thing.
Well, the only thing I might, throw in there is, in life skills, is whatever you're learning, how does it make you a better human being? You might be smarter, but are you more intelligent? And this is when the workshop junkies and the reading addicts and, it's everybody's going to this healer and that one and these things. How does it make you a better human being? How did it impact your life today? That's, to me, the critical key. If it is making you a better human being, that you're implementing that, then you are gaining the life skills that goes with the learning. So just something else for some people to think about, along with the rest of this.
All right, well, let's talk about number 9, the last one. We believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. That simply means that all the things we've been talking about, as we evolve as a race, as a human race, and we understand more and more about our own consciousness and our own existence, it's going to lead to peaceful coexistence. And it's about discovering our true nature. There's so many cool things to research, so many cool things to learn about who we are as conscious individuals. And so we need to think for ourselves, blaze our own path, make sure that things resonate with you, learn life skills, respect others, respect yourself, do no harm, do right, really look at yourself and solve your problems, but look within for the answers. All these principles will, if you apply them, will lead to a better life. And if every one person in the world, on this planet, would just apply these, the whole planet would benefit. It's beautiful.
And I might add that you might be the only one in your family doing it, and the only one in your community. You're the only one, you feel like you're the only one in the world who's got a brain cell. I assure you, there are more. They're there. They're out there. You know, and I'm always encouraging people, my clients, that, yes, and several times, even in the last 3 weeks, Doug, that somebody said, wow, is it ever good to talk to somebody who understands what I'm saying? I said, we are everywhere. We have the internet now. Go on the internet, decipher everything. You got to skim through it and get to the meat of stuff. But I tell you what, I'm part of an organization that it has people from all over the world of like mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're not alone with thinking outside the box or what you're accustomed to. It's what we said way earlier. Just because 1,000 people believe that doesn't mean it's true. And if you're upset with yourself because you're saying, well, what's wrong with me that I don't think like these people? There's nothing wrong with you. You just have to associate with people who are more like you, who are at least questioning. Just to pose the
excellent
question.
And that's so encouraging. I really can't express enough how encouraging that is to me, Doug, personally, as a human being, to meet all these students that we have all over the earth. They all have these great goals, a sincere desire to help others, to grow themselves, many of them brilliant. And wow, it's like, what a treat to be able to get to know people on the other side of the planet and to be a part of their human experience. So that's a good thing. So, anyway, we've talked about these 9 principles. Hopefully, we've said some things that will resonate with you. You can read them all at mchschurch.org. look for the button that says Principles of Belief, and you can read more about them. If you want to study them more, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org and enroll in the degree program. We've only got about 4 minutes or so left, and I really wanted to get to Nathaniel, who's called in before the show even started and would like a reading. I know we don't have a lot of time, but Nathaniel, welcome to the program. You wanted a reading?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Nathaniel. What's your birthday?
May 1st, 1957. Happy
May birthday.
May 1957?
Yeah.
Hang on one second here. You are. Is there something in particular you want to know about Nathaniel? Because I tell you, this year you're really pulling things together. I'm glad to see that.
I really need to. I kind of need to get some financing. I'm hoping into a new move and a new career. But,
yeah. You're in a phase right now. And I mean, this month and June, that's a really good time to promote yourself. You know, I know that prior to your birthday, feeling like kind of defeated, like every time you reach a hand out, the energy's just not working for you. After the birthday, there's that 52 days after the birthday that in cycles is just a natural part of good promotion. So I know you might feel a little tired and a little, you know, under it a bit, but just persevere, because even in these next few days, you're going to really start to see how people are responding to you differently. Probably the third, fourth week of June, you're going to start to see some results. That's when people will call you back, kind of thing. And that's when you're going to start to really... This actually is a year for you to pull it together. I want to say that you probably had a really rough 7 or 8 years. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, I have kind of had a... Yeah.
So it's been a rough go, a little bit up and down?
Yes.
Hang on. And probably... I see your heart feeling really light the end of July and August. So you're going to have to check back with this. You know, the thing is, when I make these kinds of predictions on air, you know, we don't really get the feedback. So I know it's kind of like, oh, she can say anything she wants. Nobody can find out. But I really, you know, if you can check back with us at that time, I'd like you to see you back in the show every week. But I think this is what I'm really sensing for you. Your heart's lighter. I feel like there's more love in your life and experience of love. So hang in there. You're in a 3 year. Three really starts to come together. So, and you're preparing for a lot of changes in 2013, which could even be a big move. So hang on to, you know, hang on to it and keep going.
Aren't I in a 2 year?
I hope that helps you, Nathaniel.
Okay, thank you.
Well, 5-1, 20, oh, sorry, in a 2 year, still there's changes in 2013 for you. So you're right, sorry, 2 year. But it's coming together for you. It's a good year.
Thank you so much, Vicki.
Besides looking at...
We wish you the best, Nathaniel. Sorry we couldn't spend more time on it. But good luck to you, man.
Keep in touch. Another show came and went. We're going to have Betty Fletcher on next week. She just plugged up for everybody and Betty. She is a Wiccan teacher. She's also many, many things. So I'm really excited about that show.
And the topic is going to be meditation and positive consciousness next week. So be sure and join us for that. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Hope you found some of value in the program tonight. Thanks to Dr. John Hightower for taking care of the call screening for us. Thanks to those of you who join us live and those who listen to the archives. Tell your friends. If you want to increase your education, go enroll at the Metaphysics Institute in one of the courses there. I know you'll benefit from it. Until next week, have a great week, everyone. Good night.
Good night, everyone.